Amenario, amen, detto. Usually when I do a speaker chair and I got somebody else before me, always I also is bad, so I look better. But tonight is quite difficult. Thank you very much. It was fantastic what you had to say. In case you haven't noticed, I will talk tonight with a little bit accent. So if you don't understand me so much, on my request meant there was something here with subtitle for you to understand. But you know me, we don't make enough money to pay for it. So again, I'm Ilario, I'm an addict, and by right, I shouldn't be here at all. By right, I should not be an addict. By right, you know me, I grew up with a very healthy family. My mother, she was a matron in the hospital, a very powerful woman. My father was a worker. I mean, they never got me to get away with anything. So I had books, clothes, food. I had my nanny look for me. Everything I want as a kid, I grown up, I did have it. I had private. I went to preschool. You know, so I even, you know, private school and coming up. You know, my family is a little bit strange because my mom come from very healthy family fascist, completely fascist, you know, a proprio hardcore fascist Italians. My father's side, they come from the mountains, the pleasant, they could not read and write, the extremely communist partisan on the Second War. And what's happened after the war in Italy and finish whatever, my grandfather to my mother's side as a fascist, he said, oh, you naughty man, you lose everything, we put you to live in this new council flat at the third floor at the top. To my father's side, the family, they said, oh, you've been fantastic, you wasn't the partisan, you helped us against the Germans, we want to give you some gift. We give you a council flat in the first floor of this building. So my mother was living at the top with the view, and my father at the bottom with no stairs because there was partisan. So they met. They met, and I come out as a result. So they had to marry. So practically, as a young kid in my family, we could not talk. We shout. So I remember as a young kid, shouting all the time in my house, oh, blah, blah, yeah, what are you doing there? No, there, come up, everything. You know, I remember my house as a young kid, chaos. I mean, as a young kid, we was living in this very small council flat. We had me, my mom, my dad, and my sister, that she coming out too as well. So my sister, we had my grandfather, fascist as it too much, and my grandmother also. You know, it's a woman of the family. She followed whatever my grandfather was doing, fascist also. And they got a sentiment against my father. My father was a pleasant. He was working with the marble. He was not writing, reading literature. You know, he was quite not well. And my mom, instead, she made a career in the hospital. And more time passed, she became more powerful and powerful. So powerful that the people... In case you haven't noticed, I'm not from here. You know, I'm from Italy, from a small little village of Italy. We used to have electricity now, but we used a donkey till last month or something like that. But you know what I mean? What's happened? She became more powerful. And at that time, when I was a kid, it was the only woman, strange enough for me to say, because London is London, but with the trousers and with a car. So, you know, she goes around and she become more powerful because she also work in the pediatric world. So everybody got kids. So she become more powerful because everybody from policeman to actor to everybody got kids. And my mom in charge of the repart pediatric, so become very powerful woman, even, you know, more powerful than the doctors. She was very straightened. Now, my mom, what she did, she done everything for me, the best. You know, she sent me to private school. She, you know, she, every time my mom was speaking with everybody about me, she used to say, oh, this is my son. Look at him, so good, so fantastic. He, you know, now he's going to theater. We send him to the, you know, acting school. And we had, my mom and dad had a friend who became very successful actor in Cinecittà in Rome after the Second World War, and he had with Sophia Loren, so we had the pleasure to meet them, and we had the pleasure, you know, to go to the state with these things, with this acting, very big. And so my mom, with his help, tried to push me to do acting. So I remember me going to this acting drama and going to the stage as a young kid acting, and I remember I was terrified. I was making myself sick because I didn't want to do it. And I remember my mother, when she finished the play, she was said to everybody, "Look, this is my son. Was he fantastic?" And everybody, "Oh yeah, very good." Everybody was said how good I was. As soon as we was in the car alone, she criticized me to everything. She criticized, "You lost the line, you wasn't good at that, you done that bad, why you did that, did you not study, did you not do that, why did you not, why the movie?" So everything I done, it was never good enough for my mom. Never. At school, at work, at sport, everything I done it. Strange enough, because when it was in front of everybody else, I was fantastic. You know, but when I was on my own, I was bad. And I used to dread in this time on Saturday when we used to go shopping. We used to go to the village, to the city next day. So we used to go, me and my sister, in the car with my mom. And I knew it before we go in the car, I would get it. You know, so sometimes I think what my sister done bad. So I tell her, "Oh, what about Claudia? She done very bad." So my mom pick on her and she leave me alone. So I was happy with that. So... As a grown up, one other thing about my mom, which you know, she, like I said, she done the best. She tried to do her best. You know what I mean? And what she did, she sent me to a posh school, just a few kilometers away from where I live. But by doing that, because the town where we was living was a communist town. It was a pleasant. You know what I mean? We come from just around the corner where is the posh side, and you know what I mean? We couldn't really go to school. So she sent me in school in that place because she could send me there. So they would not say no to her, even if it was a different. But by doing that, what's happened? She gave me good education, but I didn't have enough friends. I grew up on my own. I grew up shy behind the shadow of my mom. In the same time, when my mom was doing that, my father became an alcoholic. You know, because in that house he was drinking. The only way escape from that chaos and from everybody tell my father, "Remember, this is my house. Remember, you this is not you. Remember that." My father slowly became an alcoholic. One of these alcoholics, every town he got one. You know, I mean, everyone in town, you know, you see the guy there in the corner, and you see, "Oh, look, the alcoholic there." You never think he's the father of somebody. You know, I mean, in the street with peace and everything. So you never think, "Oh, that is the father of somebody." Well, my father was one of those. You know, he was very good. He used to go to work. As soon as he came out of work, he wasn't even come home. He used to go to the pub, to the bar, and drink and come back completely drunk. Completely out. But it gave me nice time when it was no... I had a fantastic time with him when he was not drunk. But soon he came out and good. So practically I grew up with no friends. I remember as a youth, a very young kid, looking from my third floor window of the council flat, looking the kids who used to go to war, to school in Poz, in that little town, all with friends, going away to study together, going to play together, going to party together. And I never been invited to any party because it was too far for me. Too far for me to go or to play, you understand? So I grown up isolating myself. And I remember as a youth when I started to go out and I found these kids, I was willing to do everything they want me to do to be their friends. You know what I mean? I remember when we was playing there, I was always the first one to do things. I remember one time come this lorry with Coca-Cola on it and they said, "Oh, it would be nice to get a Coca-Cola." So me, to want them to be my friend, I went there, I nicked a bottle of Coca-Cola, and I come and I give it to everybody. Everybody drank, and I got the blame. I got punishment for it. So, but I was willing to pay that to be their friends. And I remember growing up, when I found out, you know, I became very shy. I was the guy who followed everybody. You know, when we used to play football, which I could have been a career in the football industry if I was know how to play, but I don't even know how to play football. So maybe even that I could do it. At the football match, when people used to choose the team, I was the last one to be picked. I was the one left out. I was the one everybody said, "Oh, pick Ilario. You have Ilario." No, I was the "you have Ilario" the extra man. So I wasn't even good at that, you know. I remember me playing cowboy and Indians with my cousins and friends. Always I end up with the Indians. I never the cavalry. Always I was the guy who died, who nasty or whatever. Because, but I was happy to do that. And I remember when I found something who making me change in the way I felt. He was very young. You know, and strange enough, you know, in Italy, in Tuscany, we do wine for hobby. You know, so we got wine. So what's happened? I don't know if you see Dolmeo advertise or Gino Ginelli in the TV. You got these massive long tables where the Italian, 102 years old, they look like young kids eating on the table. Well, that is what we do in October. We go in there, we meet, we're going to cut the grapes, we put, and at 1 o'clock we go to eat, and we spend the rest of the day at that table. Now, they grown up. The kids, what they do, they go to play. So I used to go to play with my cousin, and one year particular, I don't remember, I was 8, 9, 10, I don't remember. I know we went to play like the grown-up kids. And like the grown-up. So we went inside where the wine is being made. We went and we pressed the button. They were coming in, come out. And we got these long glasses where you put inside and you put your finger, come out the wine. And you goggle and you spit and you said, "Oh, this is a, you know, smell it of whatever, you know what I mean?" And I think so this is 1955 and rosé, what? But what's happened? When they was doing that, I was drinking, I was swallowing. So I felt something in my ears, hot. I felt my face getting hot. When they was playing drunk, I felt different. How can I describe it? I know we tough. We never see Wizard of Oz, the film, you know, Yellow Brick Road. But for you few who see that film, there is three characters. One of them is a lion going around looking for his courage. Looking for courage. That day I found my one. That day I found there was something who changed the way I feel. That day I was not a follower, I was a leader. That day my voice changed. That day I picked it up with the football team and I picked it up with the best one. I am the cavalry. And I am in charge of everything. You follow me, otherwise. Anyway, now I move on because, you know, I found straight away I could not, you know, I found the drugs. And my drugs use, it wasn't gradually. You know, I started to use in puff at the age of 13. Before I was 14 years old, I was in jet heroin. So my things was very, very quickly. You know, I got arrested at 15 years old, 14 and something, for something, which, you know, I was, it was never my fault, because my mom, "Oh, it's not him, you know, it's not him." I could do everything, and she never thinks it was me. I was an angel. I was the guy who was supposed to be an actor, or a doctor, bad way. You know, if it was the actor, it wasn't work out, I could be a doctor. So, practically, I couldn't really doing crime, you know what I mean? But my life of crime also escalated that much that very briefly, you know, very quickly, I watched too many Scarface films. And I believe I was one of them. You know what I mean? I believe very quickly, I believe, you know, of course, my use of drugs and my life of criminality, which wasn't very successful because I got nicked all the time. I do not know why I carry on, but I'm hard, I'm an addict. So I keep doing the same things, you know, over and over. And I got arrested in Italy, and I decided to geographically. I go to England, I'm not even speak English. Why would I found drugs in England? You know, let's go to a small little town called London. You know, end up in Kentish Town Road, Leyder Road. Definitely there is no drugs. How can it be there are drugs? Anyway, my career was successful of drug taking and criminality kick off big time. Right? I couldn't even tell you how many times I got arrested because I would not know. Now, I got arrested for most of the time it was a nicking an elastic band. from Charing Cross. You know, I'm clever, you see. I'm going there, I'm clacking, I don't know what to do. I was willing to do everything to use. So I remember this particular day when at Sunday time was all closed. It was no credit card or anything at that time. We talk about the 80s. And I remember me putting my hand, now surprise, 80s. Yeah, come here in 1980s. Beside my accent, I can never change it after. So people, my wife, when I argue with him, with her, she said to me, fucking, you sound like you come yesterday. Fuck off, where you coming from? And anyway, I went there and I see this bunch of letters. At that time there was gyro, morning delay. So I put my hand inside and grabbed the envelopes like that. And I heard this screech in the road. I look, it's a police car. I said, fuck. So I ran away. And the only things I got is an elastic band around my finger. I would like to tell you it was a chest like a starchy nut, walking, running. To all come straight, all that way, come back in. And I went in, I don't know why, you know, I went inside this arcade, I dragged somebody out of the machine, I sit there, and I got nicked there. I don't know why, I was sweating. how they didn't see me, of course they didn't see me. I couldn't even breathe. Anyway, I got nicked. When I went to prison, I couldn't really say, go inside prison, tell Italian. No, my accent, it mean mafia, you know. I couldn't really go inside and say to them, why you got nicked? That's the band. So I had to say, well, it's a robbery to the post office, you know. Something to the post office. So, you know, of course, next day I get better. And say, fucking hell, it's going out already. It's grass. Anyway. You know, I don't want to tell you about my criminality kickoff, but tell you that if I had money, I was very generous. If I had money, I could share with me. If I wasn't money, I was a leech who come to you and use everything you got, and maybe give you dodo and keep the gear for me. Or, you know, I've been to the stars, I've been to the shit. I've been to selling peanut nuts in King Cross, to selling dodo, whatever. You know, to be honest, I'm an addict, which if you had a few quid, I share. If I don't have it, I use your one. So probably, you know, and whatever. I don't want to go in details, but I got long, long prison sentence in the 90s, which I did most of it because my using carry on in the prison too as well. And no, it wasn't just my using. I done everything in the prison to whatever. And I go move everywhere. It's the only time I went out of London. I could say that I've been everywhere. I went from Newcastle to the sea to whatever, all in the prison van. But you know, it was good because I was right, my mom from Newcastle. Hello, mom, I'm all right. Everything all right. And I was going off from Birmingham. I'm fine. And on and on from Liverpool and whatever. You know, till they see me in the television on the right. I was in the roof. Yeah. But anyway, I step on there. I can't stop her. Anyway. Right. Hello? You see, I can't stay still. Anyway, I found a recovery in prison. You know, I was coming to the end of my prison sentence and somebody said to me, oh, look, NA, Narcotics Anonymous. So I went inside and said, you haven't got any drugs? You know, Narcotics Anonymous. He said, no. I said, oh, the only problem I got with drugs is I don't have any. They said, oh, we ordered this joke. Yeah. So I remember me going to this program and everything. And one way to another, I got released there. You know, I got released one day after nearly 9 years, I got released. So I found myself in the street and I went to this detox center, which the people started to take me to meeting. And somebody here since that time. You know, I remember me going out. I could not do anything. I could not do shopper. I could not do anything. I got somebody who helped me to buy my first trousers as a clean man. But anyway, recovery. People introduced me to NA. So what I did, I threw myself a hint. I was doing meetings, I was doing everything, I was doing commitment at a convention, I doing everything, service, I found a sponsor and everything, and my life started to get better, one day to another. Now, I needed to say that, I found sponsors, my life get better. I go to lot of meetings and everything, and how I describe that, it was in 97. So I went clean 21 of 97. And I still clean today, since then. So practically, I went in and I went around and all the meeting, first in South London where it was these things. And after I moved to North London, so that it was my area. And I come, every meeting I was doing two meetings a day. Sometimes three on Monday, I was doing meetings on Monday because I could do it on time, three meetings. And somebody in the fellowship said to me, oh, would you like to do some jobs? And I went there, I worked with them. And I remember this guy, you know, he got me to work. They didn't even pay me after the 3 days. They told me to come back. But you know, I had done everything all right. I found my sponsor. My sponsor was fantastic. I found him an angel. You know, when he used to share, it wasn't a share. It was a song. You could record him and put some music on it and make a song. Because every time, it was fantastic. Every time he was opening his mouth, it was a man. And I was doing that. Because it was fantastic, you know. It was poetic. Everything he was saying, I was, my God, this guy. So I went there, I said, please, be my sponsor. He said, yeah, no problem. Be my sponsor. Buy the book, buy things. We started to do the first step one, whatever. We meet Hampstead Heath on the top, looking down to London. Bring the big book, bring a book. And bring a book to write. So we did that. We met the first day. Get some coffee. So bring some coffee and everything. We sit there. We started talking about him. About his wife, his relationship. How somebody got his wife and he ran away from that. 2 hours or 3 hours we spent up there. Talking about his life. How good he was and how bad he was. How hated this guy and that. And he wanted to kill him. And there. And his wife's kid, whatever. So I said, at the end, you know, we end up good there. We hug tree and everything. I mean, probably was there hugging tree. I meet him again, and he tell me the second part about his wife. So, but it was good there because I was going to meet him. I was sitting there. I was like, hello, my sponsor told me to share. And my sponsor, sorry, I need to go out for a fag. So I was going out. You know, and I become slowly, I become well done in the meetings because I work and I started to get good, and I started. It's not me. And I started to get better and better and better, and my life has become comfortable. I'm loud anyway. You can't hear me, so I don't need that. So practically, I become more good recovery, and I forgot why I was coming here. So I started to become a little bit late, leave a little bit early. Smoked 25 cigarettes in an hour and a half outside, you know, and drinking 20 coffee through the meeting and whatever. And you know, and so I became quite unhappy. I do not know why I was unhappy. So I blame the sponsor. Hey, fucking, he never helped me. Why? So I choose another one. The second one I choose, it was fantastic, good looking. As a man, I can say that. I'm not afraid to say it. It was a good looking man. Every woman fancy him. He had a fantastic Range Rover. Oh, Jesus. Probably a new one, everything. And I remember what pleasure I got to meet with him. Winter, summer, with the window down and music, blah, 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 blah. We come, we ask. So we used to go. And I remember the time I spent there. Before the meetings, the 2 hours I spent to change, shower, perfume, and everything. And I remember how much time I spent outside the meeting talking with the right people on the right time. And I remember also come to the meeting, sit, wait for the freak in the front like me, quick stop sharing. So I tell you my problem. And when he's finished, I was the best. Hilario, I'm an addict. And I got fucking tap. Sorry my language. I'm very good. I swear too much. So make it look, think I'm Italian. Don't know what does it mean. So excuse me for that. So practically, my house I got sinking, I got up linking, leaking, and it been leaking like that, it's doing my nuts. So I share about my tap. No, so every, I left it broken because he allowed me to go to any meeting and share about my sink was leaking and it's doing my nuts. No, because it wasn't really a lot to share bad. You know what I mean? So I said, if you leave that leaking and go on the floor, I give me an excuse to share something bad. So I done that for a few years. I share about it up. And more and more I come to meeting and I think 1 year passed and the second passed and the third one. I started to think I really got it. By the way, the first book I bought with my first sponsor, it hasn't been open yet. So it's at home, still smell of the printer. So practically, I could sell it for you if I want to. So practically, you know, so I become more angry and angry and angry, and I didn't really know why. So I blame the sponsor because, you know, I wasn't doing, you know, he get all the women and I didn't, so I blame him for it. So I choose another one. This time I was I was going to say Yankee, I won't say that, but I was in an America coming from Texas. Near where the, you know, the same state where it is, you know, where all the fellowship started. So practically, I said, fuck, you know, if you, he doesn't know this program, you know, I will never get it. So I choose him. He talked very strong, he talked very bad. Yeah, we need it there, yeah. So practically, it didn't work with him too as well. I remember it didn't work. So I cut off because I talk too much sometimes, you know. Every time I used to get nicked, the police said, shut up, you talk too much. Anyway, so eventually one day I had enough. I blamed the meeting. I said, I got enough. I don't want to be anymore. I get upset, I get angry. I want to walk out. You know, man, I want to walk out, and I'm all right. I'm 4 years clean. I still need to go to. I work. I got money. I got a nice car. I got everything. Do I need these people? I really do. But you know, man, and the moment there something happened, which I won't go to detail, otherwise take another 20 minutes to tell you. But you know, man, what's happened? I walk out of the meeting, and I found this guy, which I always see. He's an old boy, very cocky, very things. So he'd say something making me feel good. So I start a little bit chased, follow him like a, you know, a stalker. You know what I mean? Every meeting he goes, I go too. So he had a very good program, very good to say. So I said to him, I found the courage to say to him, please, could you, and we was a North meeting in Kilburn, when I asked him to do my sponsor. He turned around and said to me, I stick with Winner. And you not really Winner, you not here. You just a man who's sitting up there in the meeting, come later, leave it early. You're not really there to help anyone except you. You know what I mean? You keep in talking about the fucking sink and the bathroom for years. And, you know, I stick with the Winner. So I can't really be your sponsor because I do the things in this book here. And I said, what do you mean? I can't, you know, I get very sensitive, but I talk. I said, what do you mean, not spiritual? I pray. Every time my football team in nearly lose, I pray, please let that win. You know what I mean? That is it. I pray when I used to get nicked. I pray now, please don't make me nicked or things like that. But you know what I mean? Pray, you know, what do you mean? And we was walking outside Kilburn, coming down the high street. I don't know if you know Kilburn, but you know what I mean? It's very, and there where is the market, he said to me, what would you like pray with me? Which I thought, oh, is this guy straight or not? What do you mean, pray with you? He said, well, pray with me. Would you like pray with me? I said, I'm not into funny business, you know. He said, well, would you like pray with me? And he done the most amazing things every man could do it. He went like that, and he went in his knees. Which I said, fucking hell, what are you doing, Tony? Look, everybody looking. And I try, I look, he got his eyes closed, and I tried to lift it by his arm. I said, come on, Tom. Look, everybody looking. I pray with you, like, going to church. What are you doing here, in front of everybody? He said, come on, come down, pray with me. I said, look. And I look at him, he got his eyes closed, and I look, I see the bus. I said, if you're going the bus, before he realize I'm gone, I mean, can't he down?
I mean, I look at him, I said, come on, Tony, get up, look, everybody's looking at us. And I tried to push him up. He said, come on, don't be afraid, calm down. I said, no, come. And I look at people passing, and I remember this woman, I said, and I remember, so I tried to push him up. I said, come on, and I knew I could not move. I couldn't leave him there because I definitely lose the chance to get him a sponsor. So I said, what can I do? I said, the only way for me to get him up, it was to go down with him and do it quickly. Come up, and I went down, I got my hand, and he said, well, come on, relax. Relax, calm down, relax. I said, yeah, yeah, come on, come on, let's play. He said, calm down, calm down. Silence, think. Think why you want to stay clean. And you know, that minute of silence that we have before the meeting start, I go in touch with my spirituality. I'm thinking about why I won't still come here and why it's not good outside. And in that moment, I found a peace. I didn't hear more people shouting about us. I didn't anyone say, oh, look at them too, look at their other. You know, I found a peace. You know, I've tried to follow that peace. It was a fantastic feeling. You know, it was the experience everybody been talking about, you know, step three. You know, and that is when I went up, he said to me, okay, I will take you as a one, my sponsor. There is no negotiation. I will go everything in this book here. Everything I do wrong from this book here, you tell me. There is some things which are negotiable and some rules which I would ask you. First one, when you go to the meeting, don't talk about your tap, your fucking tap. Talk about the plumber you're calling tonight to fix it. I don't want you to go to meeting and talking at all. I want you to go to listen. I want you to go to lead to meeting. If it's 15 minutes before the meeting started, you're 15 minutes too late. I want you to go to meeting and have a cigarette, sheet, peace, tea, coffee before the meeting started. And after that, you sit in that chair and you no move for an hour and a half. If you can't stay an hour and a half without cigarette, how can you expect to stay a lifetime without drugs? Come on. So I want you to take a commitment, every commitment you see it, and you do it. I want you to say hello to every people on your home meeting who you do not know. I want you to say hello and introduce them to, and I want to, and also I want to remember what everybody else shared in that meeting. If your people say that, you know, my cat died, I want you to tell them, sorry about your cat, the next day. How do you feel about your cat dying? You know, how do you feel? How are you feeling better? Come on. I want them to help. And my life has lately changed. You know, I go on my own meeting, which I go regular. I do service when I can, the fellowship. I do everything I can. I go, you know, I don't do any more 2 meetings a day because my life changed completely. You know, I work, you know, this morning I wake up at 5 and whatever. I'm not going to change before coming to the meeting because I come here for me and not for to prove anybody what I close, I go, whatever. And my life changed completely. So, to close up, because I talk too much, we're just in time, okay. To close up, because on 21 November 1997, I won the lottery. And I mean that. It wasn't money what I got. I got much more than money. You know, because if you want to win the money or the lottery, what it does, they buy happiness. You know what I mean? I got much more than any £1 million anybody can win the lottery. On that day, I won the lottery. Because I'm happy, I'm things, I'm whatever. There is nothing really I want to. And I can afford everything I want to. You understand? And I know one thing. If you come to the meeting, all these things, I do what be recommended, I can say that I don't need to look back. Today, I work with the police. You know, I work with the council. I work with the big things. So, you know, when I tell them I am an addict, they laugh. Oh, yeah, all right. You know, I say, well, you know, I've been to prison. Okay, all right. Oh, do you want to see the tattoos? Everybody got tattoos. Nobody believe me where I've been. And with that, it's been great honor to be here. Thank you very much for asking me.